I'm well, to be honest. I'm very aware of the time, and I checked to see if any of my kids were in the nursery or if they were in children's church anywhere, and I said this will probably be one of the shortest messages of all time, and I'm telling the truth, okay? So don't you say, yeah, you said that before. My kids always ask me, how many pages of notes are you preaching? And I said, only three. And my son, Absalom, my son from the back bedroom said, oh no, if it's only three, you're in trouble. And I don't know that that's true. So they have a tendency to believe that the fewer pages I have, the more off script I go. But I'm going to try to be brief and right to the point tonight. Philippians chapter 3. And if you'll stand with me, please, we want to read verses 13 through 15. Philippians chapter 3. I just spoke to some folks. I really, really, really want to help you. I really do. I want you to have the things that I gave out tonight to guide you. And a lot for years, I know, for us especially, until we got in the right church, it's one thing to say, have family devotions. It's one thing to say, pray, read your Bible, and do all that kind of stuff. It's another thing to have somebody to give you something to say, here's how you do it. And it helped me, and I want to be as much of a help as I can be. I want to help parents have devotions with their kids. I want Christians to be able to read the Bible systematically so that they can study it, so that they know it, so that they can give an answer of the hope that they have from Christ. And I want to help you tonight to have the right perspective of 2017. Okay, the title of the message is Don't Look Back. And there's some things in the year that we should, but there's some things in our life in this last year that you shouldn't look back on. Paul tells us about in his life in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. We're going to talk about that word. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us, therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now look back up in verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Can we say just that phrase beginning at the word forgetting? Just can we say that phrase together out loud? Ready? Begin. Forgetting those things which are behind. Heavenly Father, I pray now that you please help me. I cast myself at the foot of the cross, and I confess my complete dependence upon you, Holy Spirit of God. And I completely confess my inability to please you or to be a help to these dear people that are here tonight. God, we can do nothing without you that's worth anything for you. So I pray tonight that you'd help me. Help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your Spirit and used for your glory. God, I've tried to give out some things tonight that certainly, if they're used properly and taken for what they are, can help Christians. Lord, they're not to necessarily teach them to observe. They're just guides for the Christian life, help in their personal walk. I pray that somebody would have a closer walk with Jesus. I pray that these first 90 days for somebody would be very spiritually fulfilling. I pray, God, that our communion with you would be sweet, so that when we do come in to the house of God, our communion and fellowship together would be sweet. We would be unified by the Spirit of God. We would be, Lord, unified because of our separation from the world. And we would be unified by our sanctification unto Christ. And God, I pray that you'd bless this church. I pray that you'd bless every home. I pray that you'd be glorified. And use us, God, as adults to train the next generation in their Christian life. Help us to be practical. And Lord, help us to purpose in our heart every single day to start all over again because your mercies are new. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Back in the dark ages, when I took state requirements in the state of California, it used to be that you were taught by a high school teacher how to drive a car. How many were in state requirements in California? A few of us. And my teacher, Mr. I don't know if it was McClellan or McCracken. I can't remember now. It's McSomething. I remember him teaching us to make sure that our eyes were focused on the road. And he made sure that your eyes were on the road because he used to say, where you tend to look, you tend to steer. I remember when I was a youth pastor, yeah, Brother Randy knows all about that. He will tell you right after church. Right, Becky? if you know that, if you don't know, you need to find out. He needs to tell you that story. My youth, when I was a youth pastor, the pastor's son, Joshua, was kind of a basket case. Couldn't wait to get his license. Got his license. His dad bought him this old, nasty, humongous used car. It was gigantic. The first time he left the church parking lot, he rear-ended somebody. He left the parking lot. He looked over in the parking lot like this and went, boom, and he hit somebody right in the back. And I said, Josh, what happened? He goes, I was looking over in the parking lot, and I just steered right over there. And I never forgot that. Did you know that there's a lot to be said about being taught the principle that wherever you look, that's where you tend to steer? In fact, it's in the Word of God. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyes look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So God recognizes the principle that where you tend to look, you tend to steer. But the Bible also warns the Christian about looking back, because looking backward can hinder forward progress. It was Jesus that said in Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And I think that's what Paul had in mind. There was a lot in his past that he needed to forget. There were a lot of things that he had done, that he had gone through, that he just needed to let go, because he realized if he didn't, if he was going to look back, that it was going to hinder his forward progress. It says right there, I press toward the mark. Looking, reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark. So before I ever go into 2018, I have to be rid of the things that I need to forget in the past. Forgetting those things which are behind. As the new year approaches, many of us will be looking ahead for sure. But hopefully what we are looking forward to is not being hindered or blocked or skewed by looking back into the last year. Dr. Goetz used to tell us the one thing we have failed to learn from history is to learn from history. And I think that's important. So my thought tonight is simple. Whatever happened in 2017 is past now. It's all gone. However you stewarded or misstewarded the year, it's gone. We cannot go back. We can't turn the clock back. We can't go back and right all the wrongs. We can't go back and change anything that we have done or should have done. It's gone. So what are we going to do? Are we going to look back and let that hinder us from going forward? Well, Paul says, listen, it's not going to happen. He says, in fact, let us therefore as many as be perfect. If you're saved, be that minded. Forget those things, reach forward and press toward the mark. Put your eyes where you want to go and you'll get there. It's kind of what he's saying. God wants us to press on to the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus and not repeat the past. Nor does he want us to be held hostage by the past. Nor does he want our past to hinder our forward progress. So tonight I want to give you some important aspects of this last year to put behind you. Number one, don't look back at sins that you've been forgiven for. Now look, if there's some things you need to confess tonight, then you need to confess. If the Bible says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, then you're just deceiving yourself and the truth's not in you. But in verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen for that promise. Psalm 103 says that he has put our sins away. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. Psalm 103 verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Listen. If you failed, if you blew it, if you committed sin, if you confessed it, leave it there. Don't look back at it. Say, God, I'm thankful that you've forgiven me. Now, by the way, old smutty face is going to bring it up, isn't he? He has a tendency to do that. But we need to stop looking at the lie as if it's not forgiven. God says, no, no, no. If you took me at my word and you confessed from your heart and forsaken it, then you shall find mercy. But he that covereth his sin is never going to prosper. You may believe this for others and so many times. You need to ask God to forgive you, but you need to believe it for yourself. Many of you, listen, need to forgive yourself. You need to forgive yourself because Jesus has already done it. You need to be able to accept the truth that God has already forgiven you in Christ. And if God forgives you, listen, you can forgive yourself. You can do that. So don't look back at sin that have been forgiven. Number two, don't look back at defeats that get you down. Man, I blew this trial. This thing came in and, man, I did it yesterday. Yesterday I was put in a situation in my attic and I found something that was done wrong. And in my spirit, I didn't handle it rightly. And I knew it after all the venom was out of me, I knew it. Praise God, it wasn't toward anybody in my family. A company came and did some work for us and they left the job undone, and there's nothing that drives me crazy than people saying, we're professionals, we know what we're doing, and they have no idea what they're doing, okay? But let me ask you a question. Is that a justified reason to walk in the flesh? No. There's no circumstances that ever justify me not being filled with the Spirit or for you. And so if I've blown it, what's going to hinder me from going forward is looking back and saying, you know what, that's probably going to happen again. Or letting that to fester in my mind. Everyone has defeats in their past because only those who never attempt anything are free from failing. If you tried to live for God, you probably failed. How many know what that feeling's like? I tried to do right. Paul said, to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. In fact, everything I want to do, I don't do, and everything that I hate, not like, that's what I end up doing. All right? So we know that feeling, but if I look back on those defeats, then they're going to bring me down. Psalm 37, 23, in your notes, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, it's almost as if God knows we're going to, huh? Though he fall, the Bible says he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. By the way, Psalm 145, 14, you might want to write in there, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. You see, it's not failure that makes us quit. It's failure to get up that makes us quit. Someone said, don't allow failing to make you feel like a failure. So don't look back at sins that have been forgiven because that's going to hinder you. They've been forgiven. So take the mercy of God and run. Press toward the mark. Number two, don't look back at defeats that get you down because they will bring you down. Number three, don't look back at the past and see it better than it was. Don't look back at 2017 and see it better than it really was. Ecclesiastes 7:10, say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou dost not inquire wisely concerning this. Israel made it a habit of looking back and seeing things differently than they were. In Numbers chapter 11, verse 18, and say not thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves. I'm sorry. Say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. And ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? Watch. For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh and ye shall eat. Now, isn't it interesting that the distance that Israel put between them and Egypt caused enchantment. In other words, they left, and all of a sudden what they had in the past was better than what they had in the center of God's will. Distance leads to enchantment, and nostalgia is never quite honest. You know, some of us will get a little more nostalgic about our high school basketball playing day. And we were really good when we were in our 20s. We were super good in our 30s. But man, now in my 40s and 50s, I was dynamite. The Ball brothers right now, they have a dad who is so arrogant and cocky. Many of you don't have any idea who that is. Don't look him up. Do yourself a favor. He's got three boys that are decent basketball players. But he made the statement on public television that he, in his college days, could whip Michael Jordan and he was better than him. You go back and look at his stats, played one game, scored 2 points. I'm just looking at this guy going, what are you drinking on the sidelines that's making you think that you are all out of bag of chips better than Michael Jordan? The dude is living in a fantasy land. Why? Because he's so far removed, he thought he was better than what he is. And by the way, that can happen to a Christian. You can look back at this year, and it can be full of things that you think were better than they are. Make sure that you guard yourself against that. Vance Havner used to say, the present is never as good as it used to be. It's never as good as it used to be. So don't be deceived by your past and thinking your life was better. Listen, without the church. Your life was better without Christian fellowship. Come on, I need some help. This is Sunday night. That your life was better without the fellowship of the brethren. Make sure that you don't look back at what God has given you and what you didn't have and say, oh, my life was much better when I wasn't bound by all these things. You've got to be very careful. How you look at the past is going to determine how you go forward in the future. Because if you look back and you're deceived by your past, you'll abandon the truth in the present. It will be better, more alluring. Israel was so deceived that things were better in Egypt, they wanted to go back. Their pining was for the flesh pots and the leeks, by the way, which they never had. But they had dreamt it up in their mind because it was better than what it ever has been. And yet, what did they cry for? Deliverance. They didn't even have enough mental and spiritual faculty to see that they were the ones that cried for God to deliver them out of slavery. And then when he did, they looked back and thought, I was better off as a slave than sitting out here under the hand of God. That is moronic. That is absolute ignorance. So, don't look back at sins. Don't look back at past defeats. They'll bring you down. Don't look at the past and see it better. Number four. Don't look back at old conflicts that make you bitter. If you rehearse old conflicts, the hurt returns, doesn't it? Opens old wounds, even those where forgiveness has taken place, will become dangerous again if you keep going over them and over them. The Bible says in Hebrews 12 and verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what you need to do? Forgive. Now watch, you may never forget. You may never forget. Nowhere in the Bible is forgetting a part of forgiveness. But it is commanded. God says, forgive. That's what he says. Forgive us, O Lord, our trespasses as we forgive them. By the way, here's a good, I'm going to pray about it. I think I'm going to preach an entire message on Sunday night, the next two Sunday nights, on just forgiveness and the importance of forgiveness, okay? But think about this. Jesus didn't wait for the Roman centurions to come and say, will you please forgive us for what we've done to you? He didn't. In fact, they didn't even ask for it, but he forgave them, didn't he? Father, say it with me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So if Jesus forgave without asking, perhaps we can do the same. Forget the past and get on with profitable living. If you spend your time thinking about all the wrongs to make them right, all the reasons why justice should be and why you deserve that, you know what's going to happen? You're going to be bitter. You're going back over things that are, according to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, not following after peace. A lot of the times, we are responsible for the trouble we have in our heart because we're opening up ourselves and giving a place to the devil. We're just saying, here, come and wreck what God is doing in my heart on Sunday. Come and wreck what God just did in my heart this morning in the Word of God by going back over. Listen, don't visit the past if it's going to make you bitter. Don't visit the past if it's going to bring you down. Forget the past and get on with profitable living. Peter said it this way, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies, by the way, and envies and all evil speakings that you have done and others have done to you. Lay aside all of it as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So twofold, I've got to let those things go so I can have the right desire and appetite. Number five, and we're done. Don't look back at old victories that may cause you to think that you've arrived. Oh yeah, I gave more this year to missions than I've ever done. Woohoo! I'm really knocking it out of the park for God. Oh yeah, I led that one person to Christ. I am done winning people to Christ, man. I've already topped the 1% of Christians who'll go to heaven and never win somebody to Christ. So I'm already in another group, an elite group. I have arrived. I don't need to read my Bible anymore. I've been saved for so long. You start getting in the mindset, I serve the Lord with all my heart once. I was a soul winner that one time when pastor was looking for 100. I was sold out to Christ once. What about today? What about tomorrow? We do not well when we look back at old victories that cause us to think that we've arrived. Look at verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. The primary message of our text is simply this truth. Just because you've had some spiritual successes does not mean that you have arrived. The word apprehended, if you circle or underline it, it means to obtain. Literally, it means to lay hold of. In other words, it is that I have obtained, listen, all that I need from God. I have learned all that I need to learn. It's saying that after all that I've experienced in life, after all that I have obtained from God, I've obtained all the faith that I could possibly ever use, all the grace that I will ever need, all the mercy, all the wisdom, and all the power necessary for the rest of my life, as if God at some point in time will say, I have gotten all the love, all the glory, all the praise that I ever could use from you. You can go do something else now. We talked about that in Sunday school this morning. Huh? You know, I could never give God truly what he deserves from me. Not in this lifetime. That's why it will take an eternity of all of our praise collective to even come close to what God deserves. The fact of the matter is, I have not obtained and I have not laid hold of all there is to lay hold of. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He writes back to a red-hot church and he reports to them, hey, listen, everything that I've ever accomplished in my life is but dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. I want to know him more. I'm not done. Timothy, don't quit. I've finished my course and I've fought a good fight, but I want you to continue and do the same. Nobody is ever apprehended until the day we come to be with Jesus. Romans 12. We know this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think. And therein lies the problem. Am I not correct? The fact of the matter is, when I decide that, when I start to think more highly of myself, it's going to cause me not to think much of Jesus. When I think highly of myself, it means that I actually believe I really don't need to read my Bible all that faithfully. I really don't need to be in the house of God all that faithfully. I really don't need to respond to an invitation. I really don't need to fill in the blank. Have you apprehended? Have you finally obtained all that God has for you? The answer is no. Neither you or I. We will not ever apprehend fully until God changes this vile body, as I read today, into the glory that is waiting for us. Now, I want us to take some time, just for a few moments, to look in and then look up. But don't make the mistake of looking back unless you're looking back at the right things. As you look back on the grace of God in thanksgiving, you look back on the mercies of God. By the way, he has been very gracious and very merciful this year. If you look back on the faithfulness of God, yes, look at those things. But don't look back on the things that are going to hinder you from going forward. Now, let me ask you a question. What are you going to do with that? The truth has been given. God has brought us to the eve of another new year. By God's grace, 365 days from now, should he tarry and all of us remain alive and well in this room, we'll be right here again. And we'll be looking and saying, now, how did I steward the last 365 days? A year untried before me lies. What it shall bring of strange surprise, of joy or grief, I cannot tell. But God my Father knoweth well. I make no concern of mine, but leave it all with love divine. The sun may shed no light by day, no stars at night illumine my way. My soul shall still have no affright, since God is all my life and all my light. Though all the earthly lights grow dim, he walks in light who walks with him. No ill can come, but he can cure. No word doth all of good ensure. He'll see me through the journey's length for daily need and give me daily strength. We have all of the promises of God laying before us, because we have had all the promises of God behind us. God says, that's what I want you to hold on to. I want you to forget so that you can reach, so that you can press. So don't look back at those things that hinder you. Let's pray tonight. Father, we do love you and we thank you for being so gracious and kind. Thank you for simple truths. Thank you for a life that was lived by your Son the way it ought to have been from the beginning. The second Adam came, Lord, to write everything and fulfill the law. Not a jot or a tittle was lost, but it was fulfilled perfectly and in a holy manner by your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for giving us the victory. Lord, thank you for positioning us for victory each and every day. Thank you that our relationship is not based on our merit or on our activity, but it is based solely on the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we pray tonight, God, as brethren and sisters in Christ, as the family of God, Lord, that you would give us insight to our hearts, and may we not look back on those things that hinder our forward progress, but rather look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, help us not to be beset so easily with weight and the sin. Rather, help us, Lord, to take the mercy and forgiveness of God and run. Run to the cross. Daily, God, I pray this year that you would find us at the cross of Calvary with our cup. And God, as our good shepherd, I pray that our cup would run over. I pray every day that as we open your word, as we kneel at your throne, that we would find peace in the green pastures and in the still waters. God, I pray when we face our enemies that we would be seated at a banqueting table. And God, as you anoint our head with oil, that we would receive that full cup of the Spirit of God. Lord, knowing that wherever you lead, it is for righteousness' sake. And Lord, we know that if we follow you, those things that will follow us will be mercy and goodness all the days of our life. And Lord, by your grace and mercy, another year from now, we shall be still dwelling in the house of the Lord. And so we beseech you, God, tonight for your mercy on this last year. I pray that every heart tonight would find the things in this last calendar year that have been misstewarded, misprioritized, mispracticed, and confess them for what they are, opposition to the will of God and sin. And then, Lord, help us to leave here rejoicing always. For just a few minutes tonight, I wonder if God would do a work, or if he has done a work in your heart. I wonder tonight, I'm going to have Ms. Stallnaker begin to play, and I wonder if right where you are, if you'll just make it an altar. And you'll just grab a hold of the horns of the altar. Wherever he leads, I'll go, is the song. Now what's the prayer? Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for your holy word. We thank you, God, that you've touched hearts here tonight. And I pray that you would help us to follow through with every decision. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor, God's spoken to my heart tonight about something in this past year that I cannot afford to look back on. Because if I do, it's going to hinder me. And God helping me, I want to forget those things which are behind and reach forth unto those things which are before. How many would say, Pastor, that's me tonight. Here's my hand. Pray for me. Anybody like that? So God spoke to my heart specifically about some things I need to forget. Now, good. Now, how many would say, Pastor, I really do need to press toward that mark. I've been hindered, but I really need to press toward that mark. I want to be reaching forth. That's my prayer. I'm not going to be hindered necessarily from the past as much as I am maybe from the present. And I want to be faithful in 2018 to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? How many would say, Pastor, that's my prayer? Anybody like that? All right. Father, I pray now for every hand that was raised. God, would you help them? Lord, there are some things in everybody's 2017 that needs to be forgotten. And we plead the blood of Jesus Christ. We ask, God, that you would, as you have forgiven us of our sin and put us in robes of righteousness and garments of salvation, that you would do the same and renew our mind and help us to stay forward-looking so that our direction is in that way. Father, I pray for every person that lifted their hand. Would you help them and help all of us, God, to remain faithful? Help us not to just be faithful for the 1st of January or maybe through the 5th or 10th, but God, every day, help us to look back at those spiritual goals and at the roles that you have for us. And I pray that you would make us useful. Help us to press, and eventually one day when we get to heaven, reach that precious mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Bless every decision tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had this thought when I was praying in your prayer journal where it says roles, and I put those out there so you could pray by the roles or your responsibilities. Maybe somewhere in there, or there's some blank pages in the back, you could attach a spiritual goal by the responsibility or the role that you have. What's your spiritual goal as a father this year? What's a goal? What's a practical, attainable goal with God's help for you in that role? And put that maybe in another page. And just something that the Lord put in my heart. And make sure that you are. Maybe sometime, if you haven't already, sometime tonight, tomorrow, take a few minutes and just reassess your spiritual life and say, Lord, I want to make a practical spiritual goal that will help me to become more like Jesus in this new year. And I want to look at it every day, and I want to be reminded, here's the goal. If this is the goal, then what's the path to get to the goal? A lot of people would say, well, you want to save $10,000. Here's how much you got to put away every month or every paycheck. And you go down that path, and you understand, man, if I'm going to reach that goal, this is what I got to do. Well, why don't we do that with our spiritual life? Man, if I want to be more this way, name the attribute or name the fruit of the Spirit. If this is the goal that God's put in my heart, because this is a part of my life, what's the path to get there? What do I have to do in order to get that fruit in my life or that make that change? And that's just a practical way of looking at your Christian life. All right. Hopefully you've been helped tonight. All right. I pray that you have been. I pray that you've been challenged. It's a waste of our time if we come to church and we just feel good. I mean, I want you to feel good, but it's a waste if we just come and we just talk about, oh, this is all this cool stuff, and then we leave. I want to give you something to make sure that you keep 2017 in its right perspective. Learn from it, but don't dwell there, because it's going to hinder us from going forward. All right, let's stand together.